I think gambling's worse than drugs, personally. I think gambling should be legal before drugs. It's a far worse addiction. There's no guaranteed payoff. Who would shoot up heroin if there's only 1 in 3,000 chance you get high off it?
If you did a $100 bet, you should have been asking for $3,000 in return if we score.
Can you do that? Are we cool with that?
No. I already took it down 50.
Thank you for that.
Oh, whoa, what a great treat to give him even money but less money.
What a generous soul. Just give him $50 now, do you think?
Jeez. Pay him $49 to get out of it.
Welcome to the Bets and Quotes podcast, a podcast for the rubes, by the rubes, talking all things power trip. Bets and Quotes is hosted by Chuck, better known as Power Trip Bets, and Dave, the one and only Power Trip Quotes. They were going to get an apartment together and see how things went, but settled on a podcast instead. Our legal disclaimer is simply that Lawyer Lambert probably likes us better than you, so good luck suing us. We hope you enjoy this episode, but if not, feel free to play Jax on 494.
All right, Dave, it's time for our favorite moment of the show. Our favorite moment of the show is always the first moment of the show. And tonight, it is good news, at least for you and me, because I think the over is finally going to hit. Unfortunately, Lou, the Twins are losing 8-1 right now in the bottom of the fifth inning. But that puts the number at 9, which is what I had it at. So one more run. And we hit the over. So we got at least a push tonight, Dave, because last I checked, we're 8-16.
Oh, and you know, that was kind of the silver lining last night. Obviously, it sucked for Mania to blow the no-hitter there in the ninth. But I'm like, outside chance at the over here? especially at 8.5. I think I even texted you over with the Undertaker gif. So, yeah, it's been a rough run for Twins over, man. I'll say that.
It definitely has, but like I said at the beginning, it's 60 games. I'm committed to the bit. I did tell you, like, one of the things I've started doing is I am splitting my bet now between putting half of it on the over and half of it on just the Twins over, because the Twins have been far more reliable than their opponents, partly because the Twins pitching has been so good. So that's like my new tactic to try and like at least maybe, you know, get half my money on nights where the Twins pitching is actually really good.
Either that or maybe we should just bet Twins money line. I mean, they keep winning. They're freaking good.
If we bet the Twins money line, we'd be the exact opposite of where we are now. We'd be 16-8 instead of 8-16.
Fuck, that sounds like a lot more fun.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of gambling, there was a little gambling action on the old Rocket League this week. So Parrish and Corey took on the pros this week, and there was money on the line because Chris put $50 that Corey would score a goal. Of course, it only applied to the first game. They played the three-game series there, and just stealing a little bit of thunder from the bets update. But, yeah, it was. I put out a few lines, and Chris took the bet, and Chris won some money because Corey actually scored a goal in the first game, and he scored a goal in the third game as well. Pretty impressive. The total series loss was 72-2, but I think Corey has played that Rocket League goal call from Zach about, 15, 20 times so far this week on the show?
It's starting to sound like the Al Michaels, miracle. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! I mean, I can hear it in the back of my head right now.
I know. It's so good.
Which, obviously, Zach's call was great. I mean,
oh, props to Zach. I mean, that's
the play-by-play legend.
The most underrated thing about the whole Rocket League competition there was Zach's call, because he is so good on his, obviously his hockey announcing, but his esports and stuff too. It really gave it a cool feel, rather than just, Parrish and Corey sitting there kind of doing their own play-by-play. Having Zach do the call was just fantastic, and it was really fun to watch. And it took an hour for all three games because there were so many goals scored. I looked at the clock, and I was like, man, it's 11 o'clock. And, yeah, they just did three games. So, it's
now,
pretty
Chuck,
fun.
Have you – so there's a couple things I want to talk about in this. hockey, so in the negotiation of the bet, you know, it's basically coming out to where it's what, 30 to 1 or like 300 to 1 for them to score a goal.
30 to 1.
Hockey just goes, oh, I'll put $100 on it. Right. So I was like, okay.
Like, yeah, hockey
should have at least got 10 to 1 on that.
He definitely didn't get the odds that he should have. Now, ultimately, Corey scored 2 goals in 3 games, so apparently my line was massively inflated. What was interesting is my line for, you know, the over-under or the spread on it was 30.5, which, you know, when I posted that, most people were like, oh, that's way too high. Hammer the under. And that third game proved that that line was not that crazy after all. They kept it close in the first game, got a little more out of hand the second game, and by the third game, they were getting rolled pretty hard. So I think the pros figured them out pretty quickly. Torment and Gimmick had their strategy after the third game, and they were just rolling Parrish and Corey in that third game. But lots of fun. It was, you know, as one of those people who's like, I don't understand why people would watch sport or watch video games. They just play them. I'm like, I have actually gotten into watching more and more video games as time goes by. And, you know, it is pretty cool. I wish I played Rocket League. I've meant to get into it a few times and just have not started. But it definitely looks like a blast and something that would be right up my alley. So maybe I'll get on that.
If there's a super, you know, if this coronavirus stuff keeps happening and, you know, the fall starts looking pretty bleak, maybe you and I need to start our own Rocket League team. Because I got a Switch. I'm ready to go. I can technically play the game. I don't know if I can, you know, score a goal or, you know, I'll probably look like Parrish out there with, you know, tape on the bottom of my skates falling over, but
for sure. Yeah, no, that's not a bad idea. And if we can find a sports book where I can bet against myself, then so much the better.
Yes, we'll get all of our Twins over money back.
Well, we have a fun show for you today. It is getting close to football season, and that means fantasy football. We know a lot of you guys are into fantasy football out there. So we're going to go a little fantasy football heavy. We are actually doing a Patreon guillotine league. So got lots of people signed up for that. And for everybody else, we are also going to do a guillotine league for everyone else. And I'll be putting details of that actually on my Facebook page. So go to facebook.com/powertripbets. I'm going to post something out there just to keep it off of Twitter, because when I posted the fantasy league last year on Twitter, it filled up within like less than an hour. And I want you guys, the listeners, to be the ones and not just random Twitter rubes. So I'll put that out actually on the Facebook page. So if you don't follow me on Facebook or if you don't have Facebook, you can still go to facebook.com/powertripbets and see it out there. So, and we'll get a guillotine league going for you guys as well. So we are going to talk to Matt Harrison, who at Explosive Output on Twitter. He's doing lots of cool stuff with fantasy football, and he is an expert. He's one of the guys, of course, that's on Charge's show every week. You can hear it here on the fan, like we're on the fan. We're not on the fan, but you're used to hearing here on the fan, so that's probably the right term. So yes, we'll talk to Matt, and then we're going to do quotes notes. So we'll see if quotes can redeem himself after my killer opening last week. Hopefully your ears still aren't bleeding from that. So that's our show for tonight, but we'll get started as always with a bets update.
Partridge.
All right, I got lots of positive feedback on the intro, so I think we are sticking around with it forever.
Oh, I love it. I mean, I love Skrillex, and I love Dan Barrero. Marrying the two is just it's a home run, Chuck.
For sure. All right, well, let's get going with some bets, because we got a lot of them this week. We already talked about the Rocket League goal that Hot got from Corey, so he won $50 versus Sauce for hitting on that. The next bet is one of my favorite bets of all time, and it was just one of those spontaneous things that Corey threw out there. And we ended up getting some takers on it. And it was, why don't you take all of Parrish's former NHL teams versus the field? And Parrish and Sauce agreed to it. And they took all of Parrish's former teams against Hockey and Zach. So it's $50 each way. So everybody's got $100 on the line on that bet. And at first I was like, wait a minute, it's the NHL playoffs. It's pretty random. You're only getting four teams versus 12. I'm like, this seems like a pretty bad bet. But when you actually look at the teams that they got, I mean, they're getting the Islanders, they're getting Tampa, and they're getting Colorado. So that's three of your top five right there in terms of the odds. And, you know, after this first round is over, you know, I think a lot of the teams that are going to be eliminated are going to be the field. So it looks very, very much like a kind of 50-50 bet there. And what a fun bet. All of Parrish's former teams versus the field.
Right. I'm so glad that it makes, like, sense. Like, it does seem pretty even on both sides. I think even Sauce admitted today that he wouldn't have made the bet if he would have remembered that Parrish played for Tampa. And obviously Tampa, I think, is like at least one of the top three favorites going into the playoffs. But now they are advancing against Columbus after a win today. But you got the Avs in there too. Obviously, I don't think he ever played for the Avs, but he was drafted by the Avs. So I guess they're a Parrish team. The Avs are the hottest team in the West right now. They're kind of the darling right now. I don't know exactly what side I would be on. Maybe as a Parrish stan myself, I would lean Parrish. Maybe we should do a Bets and Quotes podcast bet here, a Kaniac bet.
You know, I'm on the same side, honestly, because my two favorite my favorite team that's left, obviously, is Vegas. So that's my number one. But outside of Vegas, I'm like, I love the Islanders and our guy, Anders Lee. I love Tampa. I used to be a Tampa season ticket holder when I lived down there. I would definitely be on the Parrish side as well.
I'll take non-Parrish.
You'll take non-Parrish. All right, let's do a Kaniac bet. I will take all of the Parrish teams. I'm hitching my wagon to Parrish and Sauce, which historically, from a gambling perspective, isn't necessarily the best wagon to hitch to. But,
the worst. Well, book it, Power Trip Bets and Quotes podcast, Bets and Quotes, non-Parrish versus Parrish.
Got it. All right. The other bet that made a resurgence is the versus core bet. This one is two versus the core, and it's the NBA two versus core. And, Corey kind of threw it out there, and not much was said about it. And then, of course, Tommy had to take Corey up on it. Apparently, that was an offline discussion that Corey brought up on the air. And Tommy took Milwaukee and the Lakers, and Sauce took the Clippers and the Lakers. So Corey is going to be on the hook if the Lakers win. Outside of that, he's going to basically break even if the Clippers or Milwaukee win. And if none of those three teams win, Corey's going to profit off of this. So nice little bet there. And it was funny that Tommy's two teams both lost game one to start off this bet. So not necessarily the sign you're looking for if you're on the Tommy bandwagon.
Yeah, I really think it should have been a third team to really get even, but if it was Bucks, Clippers, and Lakers, I think that's a little unfair. That would probably be like closer to -140 or -150. I think Sauce made the better decision in taking the Lakers and the Clippers, because I would be shocked. I mean, absolutely shocked if one of those two LA teams didn't at least advance to the finals. So at least you would be kind of guaranteeing your one team into the finals. Yeah, I don't know. Milwaukee's just been terrible inside the bubble. They're too clogged up with all the cheese that they have brought into the bubble that they're just not producing.
Yeah, and one of my favorite things happened that, like, when Sauce makes a bet and he's nervous about it, he'll text me right after it, and he did with this two versus core bet, and he was like, "Who would you have taken?" And it was like, and it's one of those things where I know he's looking for reassurance. And I think I would have leaned taking both the LA teams anyway. But so I was like, yeah, I would have definitely taken both the LA teams, because that way it pretty much guarantees you got somebody in the finals. And he's like, yeah, that's what I was thinking too. So It's like you gotta reassure Paul every once in a while. So, and if you're a really hardcore NBA person, you can follow the 9 to noon NBA winner take all bet that I'm tracking for them, where they drafted 5 teams and 5 players each. They've got a whole scoring system that runs throughout the playoffs. $200 a pop, similar to the MLS soccer bet that they did that Gleeman won. So yeah, that's if you're hardcore, it's kind of fun to watch. I like tracking the old box scores and stuff like that on that as well. And it's always fun because I listen to PA's show, and it's always fun to listen to PA and Nordo and Gleeman give each other crap about bets. So so you can follow along with that one as well.
At what point do you turn into having to create another account for 9 to noon bets?
No, that will never. I don't want to manage multiple Twitter accounts. My personal account and this Power Trip Bets thing is plenty for me. So, but there was a point where 9 to noon had a couple of bets going, and like the Power Trip hadn't bet on anything for a long stretch, and I was tempted to change my like little tag to 9 to noon bets, but yeah, I didn't. I thought that would be a little bit confusing to people and stuff. So no, no, they're fun. I love when they do their bets. I do not, for the record, for those of you that are curious, because some people get like kind of all wadded up about this stuff. I don't include the bets made on 9 to noon as part of the handle, the March to 50K that we're not going to get to this year. But and speaking of that March to 50K, they're going to get damn close to breaking the record that they set for last year, which when you consider we went 5 months without sports, that's really, really impressive. So
it is nice.
I don't know that they're going to get there, but it's going to be damn close. They should get north of about 20,000 and the record's right around 25,000. So yeah, depending upon what action we have here and whether some of these golf bets double and all that sort of thing, we could get damn close. So well done, guys. It's many circumstances beyond your control. And then maybe next year we can make the official March to 50K. So that will do it for the bets update. Let's do some quotes.
They're memorable. They're timeless. They'll probably get meat sauce fired. It's time for the quotes of the week.
Power Trip quotes. Power Trip quotes.
Power Trip quotes.
Power Trip quotes. Power Trip quotes.
All right, friends, it is time for the quotes of the week. And Chuck, for the first time ever, you know, this is one of the regulars on the show that doesn't make the quotes very often. But when he does, he comes up swinging big time. We have a first. Corey Cove has all 3 quotes this week.
Whoa.
So we will start at number 3 with Initials Game creator Corey Cove.
Well, we know that's not the case with humans, because nope. If you could be so horny you could die, then Creasel would have died 37 times by now.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm right there with him.
Yes. Obviously not the only other person on the Power Trip that would die if you could die from, over-horniness, but John would definitely be first.
Yeah, link, please.
Genius. All right, we'll move to number 2. Again, it's Corey Cove.
Unbelievably really? Underwhelming. Yep.
I heard
it's,
that.
It is a 10-second kind of a thing. You're like, oh, all right, there it is. Let's go. I mean, that's it. That's that. The arch. Yeah. Let's go.
Me and the arch have a lot in common.
Okay. Why, it's it just as wide as it is tall.
Well played.
Brilliant.
Duh.
You're talking about, damn it. That's a weight joke.
I love that at the end.
Oh, that's perfect.
That's almost a new brand of quote there. Because I was almost going to tweet it out right after, Sauce said, well, me and the bridge have a lot in common. Or the arch have a lot in common. I was going to tweet that out, and then Corey comes over the top. So maybe it's classified as an over the top quote.
Oh, yes, yes. I like that over the top. Plus, we could play the over the top soundtrack while we do that segment. So,
what musical is that from the 80s? Or is that like is that one of those songs from Winger or something like that?
Over the top. You know that movie, right?
No.
Oh my God, you don't know Over the Top? Oh,
hockey. It's better than Debbie Does Dallas.
Oh, your daddy hockey would be very disappointed in you. That no, it's the Sylvester Stallone arm wrestling movie. And I say that, and you're like, a Sylvester Stallone arm wrestling movie? But it's really good.
No, you piqued my interest by saying that.
All right, good. Because Sylvester, it's great, and the music's great. It's, oh, yeah, it's over the top. I highly recommend it.
Wow. All right, noted here. They'll be in quotes notes next week. But now, we get to the number one quote of the week, and it is Corey Cove.
Man. They're so horny.
Don't kink shame.
500 pounds, and they pay him just to look at his belly and watch him eat. Why don't you just go to the Dells?
Oh, my God.
I love everybody.
Nobody rips Wisconsin better than Corey Cove.
I love how everybody's like trying to not laugh or be cautious with their laughs, knowing that they're going to offend certain people. But that was brilliant.
Right. It's the affiliate thing now. Now they have affiliate in Wisconsin, and you know the Fan Radio Network is now spreading its wings. And yeah, I mean that. But we're never going to stop making fun of Wisconsin. Sorry, Greg. I know you're listening. But we love making fun of Wisconsin.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And Corey is definitely the king of it. The Pomita jokes and the Heckles restaurant jokes and the, yeah, everything's right by the Dells. Yeah. Brilliant stuff. Oh, well, that's, well, historic week on the Power Trip. The, you know, we had the Duel of the Decades went 10-0 for 1985 today. That was historic. We've got a 3-0 sweep for Corey Cove. That's historic. Man, lots of firsts this week.
It's a big week. We popped a lot of cherries this week on the Power Trip.
Oh, brilliant. All right.
It's time for the weekly segment of Your Thoughts. Copyright Dark Star.
All right, this week on Your Thoughts, we're going to talk to Matt Harrison and do quotes notes. It's fantasy football season, like we mentioned before, and there's no better way to get prepped for fantasy football season than by listening to the guys with Fantasy Football Weekly, and we're lucky enough to have one of them on tonight, and that's Matt Harrison from Fantasy Football Weekly. He's going to talk to us about some strategies for 2020 fantasy football and tell us about his new website that he launched, and you can be a part of it. So let's do this. All right, well, we are excited to be joined by Matt Harrison. You hear him with Charge on Fantasy Football Weekly. He has his site, shockfantasy.com. He loves best ball challenges. How many leagues are you in best ball this year?
You don't want to know that answer. Well, at least, okay, I'm pretty sure my wife's not going to listen to this podcast. I'm not doing that bad. I think I'm in about 20 right now.
Okay. Okay.
So, but I got about 6 going at any given time right now. This is the season where when one ends, you just fire up another one. So just keep going at this point. Keep drafting.
Absolutely. Got to do all the drafts you can. Now, I can't remember. Are you in Brian Johnson's tight end only league? Because that's my favorite draft I've done so far this year.
No, Brian's weird.
He is weird.
truer words have never been spoken.
No, I love Brian. He loves the tight end. He loves the weirdest kinds of leagues. Back when we were in the same office every day, he'd come up with just these crazy ideas, and it's like, dude, no one wants to play that. Come on. He's like, oh yeah, that'd be great. But yeah, I mean, he's Brian. I'm sure that there's going to be some sort of Top Golf league that he's got going pretty soon. It'll be great.
I was going to say, who does he like better, Chris Herndon or Darren Waller or Topgolf? F1 kill one, marry one.
Well, I think Dan Arnold trumps them all right now.
Yeah.
And I was a jerk to him, too, in our tight end only league. It was auction. First guy I threw out was Dan Arnold. And he types back. He's like, you're really doing this? So made him blow a whole bunch of bucks on Dan Arnold. Well, one of the things
– that's how you do it.
One of the things we're doing with our listeners is we have a Patreon group, and we've already started a guillotine league with those guys. And then with our regular podcast listeners, we're going to do a second guillotine league with them as well. And of course, nice. Guillotine leagues were kind of like, you know, newer last year. And I think they really started taking off last year. And I know most of the people I talk to And my experience in them was just a blast. I had so much more fun in the guillotine leagues than I did like normal fantasy football. But I know a lot of people are kind of newer to guillotine leagues and don't really know what it's all about and everything. I think they get the concept where, you know, a team gets eliminated each week and then their players get, you know, redrafted into the other teams and everything. And it's kind of, you know, usually a last man standing kind of thing. But, you know, for people that have never played before, Matt, what advice would you have, or what are some of the tactics you think people should use, and how does your strategy differ when you're playing a guillotine league?
Well, so, I mean, you guys know guillotine leagues. Charge has the site guillotineleagues.com that he just started up in the last year or so. And one of the things that I find fascinating, and maybe the most fascinating part about the guillotine league, is your free agent blind bidding budget, basically, and how you manage that. And yeah, there's a traditional fantasy draft. That's fine. There's setting your lineup every week. That's fine. The difference is when Saquon Barkley becomes available after week two, because his team lost after Saquon threw up a goose egg and the rest of the team just crapped themselves. Then all of a sudden you have to look at, okay, it's week two. Do I want to spend 60, 70, 80% of my budget on Saquon Barkley right now? Or do I want to, you know, put in a lesser bid, knowing I'm probably not going to get him, and kind of save my money till later in the season when all of a sudden the rosters get, or the free agent wire gets better and better as the season goes on, because the rosters get condensed and better players are dropped into the league. So one of the ways I like to play is I like to not spend money in the first 4 or 5 weeks if I can survive it. I take really, really safe guys. And I think it's kind of the opposite of what you would do in a regular fantasy league, and, you know, take some of the sexy names with the upside. But, you know, if you take a good, solid quarterback who's going to get you 3 touchdowns every week in the first round, and you take, you know, a Travis Kelce or a George Kittle who doesn't really put up that many stinkers, you can build your team off that and just play the matchups with the rest of your guys. And all you got to do is not finish last. Right. Strive for second to last every week. And that's all you need to do. And if you hold on to your cash, then by the time it gets toward the end of the year, you get to just pick up everybody. There was a league, the first guillotine league we ever played in the office, which was in 2018. We were kind of doing it as a proof of concept. Christian Peterson, former Fantasy Football Weekly co-host, and I shared a team in that league. And every week we went into the office and we sat down and we planned out exactly what we were going to bid. And I think guillotine leagues are almost more fun if you have a co-owner, because you have somebody to bounce all that stuff off of. And it's absolutely fascinating to go, all right, so I think Dave is going to put in a giant bid on Saquon this week, but he's only got $601 left, so we can bid $602 and get it, you know? Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. There's fascinating little nuances of the betting game, who's got money left over at what time. It's absolutely insane and a totally different way to play.
Now, obviously, by the time you get to the end, these are going to be like superstar teams. I mean, like, you know, your finals are going to be something like Patrick Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson and, you know, all the top players. Do you reach a certain point, and trust me, I haven't lasted long enough to get to this point, but do you reach a certain point where you're like, you know, for me to be in this, I have to get, like, you know, one of those killers, one of those top guys at his position. And say a Patrick Mahomes comes available like week 8 or week 9, maybe following his knee injury last year. Is there a point where you're like, I have to have the top guy, I'm putting some bucks in on this guy now? Or do you just kind of continue to hoard your money and stretch it out as long as possible?
It's to each his own. If you look at what everybody has left over, and there's maybe some of the teams that didn't spend any of their free agent budget got kicked out of the league already. So it wiped a whole bunch of dollars from the league right off the bat. And maybe the teams that are left are the teams that are really spending your money. And if you haven't spent your money and you're sitting there in the prime pole position with all the money, you can start spending a little bit less than what you would normally have to do. And that's the thing is, those players that are really expensive in week two, week three, week four, are much less expensive in week 8, 9, and 10. And they're even less expensive in week 13, 14, 15.
Yeah, I know. I made it to the – I actually took second in my first one that I did last year.
Oh, good for
and
you.
And once you got to the final four, it was like a cumulative of the weeks.
Yep.
And it just added up for points. And two of the guys, once we got down to the final four, two of the guys didn't have any money. So it's like the hardest part for me was, do I start, you know, Charge's third rank running back or his fourth rank running back? And like, there's so many different dimensions to it. And, you know, as it goes on, it just changes. And yeah, no, I really had a great time with it last year.
Well, and there's also elements of almost having a DFS team when you come down to the end of it, because everybody's available for you to start.
Right.
Especially if you're playing in a traditional guillotine league where they go down to the last two teams are playing in week 16, then you're basically picking from anybody in the league,
right?
Because everybody's on your roster or the other roster, and the free agent wire is good enough to probably damage both of you. So it's absolutely bonkers. There's so many different little facets of how that game works that's different than any other type of fantasy league you'll ever play.
Now, how much stock do you put into, you know, because like you said, all you have to do is not be the worst team. Just be the second worst team every week and survive. But, you know, you get into like bye weeks and injuries. And, of course, this year, you know, with COVID, you never know what could happen there as well with players. Do you kind of push the panic button? You know, it's week three. You lost one of your key guys in week two. Do you kind of push the panic button at that point and, you know, say I've got to survive, you know, I've got to spend every dollar I have just to survive if it comes down to that? Or is it, you know, we're just going to kind of roll with it? I think there's one or two other rosters out there that I can manage to beat. You know, what would you do in that situation? You lose a couple key players early on. Do you blow a lot of money just to try and stay alive, or hope you skate by and save those dollars?
Well, I mean, if injuries happen and you're just stuck, you have to play the percentages. I mean, there's going to be situations where you're just stuck. Both your starting running backs got hurt. What do you do? You mm-hmm. got to go out and pick up the backups for some nominal amount of money. You know, it's just something that happens. I mean, say Dalvin gets injured. You got to go pick up Alexander Mattison, and you got, he's probably on a roster, frankly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, when you're in the big leagues like this, because it's a 17 team league to start, the waiver wire has nothing at the beginning.
Right.
At the very beginning of the season, there's nothing out there. There's nothing good for you to grab. So you're kind of left with, at the very beginning, just such slim pickings, and everybody's got tons of money. So I never try to panic in these kind of leagues. I always just try to play it out and go, you know what? Somebody's going to have a bad week. Deshaun Watson's going to run out of bounds and slip and turn an ankle in the first quarter, and all of a sudden he's out for the game, and all I got to do is beat that guy now.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, something like that happens every week in the NFL, and it's certainly going to happen more this year with the COVID thing, because you're absolutely looking at you know, the Thursday night game happens, and then, you know, the Friday injury report comes out, and then the Saturday walkthroughs happen, and all of a sudden Josh Jacobs isn't playing this week. They're saying he's sick. He's got COVID. He's going to be put on the list. He's out for 2 weeks. Well, what do you do if that happens on a Saturday? You're kind of stuck. So this kind of stuff is going to happen throughout the year in all fantasy, not just guillotine leagues. And it's my vantage point that you should play players early in the week this year.
Sure.
Overall. If you have a Thursday night starter, you put that Thursday night starter in if they're good enough. If it's a tie break between a Thursday night guy and a Monday night guy, don't wait till Monday.
Mm.
It's possible that game doesn't happen It's possible
right.
that
right.
the season's canceled halfway through. So I'm looking at it from that standpoint. And further on the COVID thing, the earliest bye week this year is week 5. The latest bye week is week 13. So there's a lot of variance in there. And if you're playing in any kind of league at all, where you have COVID rules put in place, where if you get through 8 games and all of a sudden the NFL cancels the season, it counts as the season and you get the money. Well, you should start looking at these players who don't have buys until weeks 10, 11, 12, 13. I mean, if it's a situation where you're picking between, I'm going to pick two guys who are close, Matt Ryan and Aaron Rodgers. Well, Matt Ryan's got a week 10 bye, and Aaron Rodgers has 5 bye. So if Aaron Rodgers, you know, just is on a bye week in week 5 and the season is canceled in week 9, Matt Ryan got to play one extra game over Aaron Rodgers. So bye weeks are actually something that you can consider this year. And really, the later bye week is kind of the tiebreaker this year.
That's interesting. I haven't heard that angle. I was going to also bring up, obviously, for redraft and, you know, everybody's, you know, neighborhood or, you know, coworker fantasy league, how are you changing your draft strategy? Obviously, now you're taking later buys, but are you trying to take safer players, more risky players? Depth at positions? Are you still doing the opposite? What are kind of some of your general COVID draft strategies?
Well, I don't look at it from a COVID standpoint that much. And I'm not advocating that you should go in and just go, I'm only drafting week 13 by players. And if that's the case, you're only getting Carolina and Tampa players. That's it. And I mean, it would be nice to have Christian McCaffrey and Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, but after that, it gets a little dicey. So,
go Teddy.
absolutely. So I'm not really looking at it from a COVID standpoint of how should I alter my draft strategy. There are little things that I'm doing. I know that people usually like to go, hey, this is a safety situation, and maybe I need to get the handcuff running back. Well, that handcuff running back, let's use Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison again for an example, because we're in Minnesota, they're here. They're in the same running back room all week, every day. So if one of them gets put on the COVID list, it's quite possible that the other one will be put on the COVID list too, unless these teams are smart enough to split their running back rooms or split their wide receiver rooms. So while the common knowledge would be, yeah, I probably want to take their backup just in case they get sick, I think you do the opposite of that. I think you start taking the handcuffs on other teams. So I'm looking at the guys on the other teams. Like, for instance, let's take Zach Moss, for instance, who's the handcuff to Devin Singletary instead of taking Alexander Mattison. Let's take Marlon Mack. Let's take Keyshawn Vaughn, those kind of guys who are, you know, quite clearly the backups on their team right now. But if something happens, all of a sudden those guys are thrust into a full-time role.
And along those same lines too, I mean, if you're, you know, I know a lot of leagues are eliminating kickers and stuff like that, but that seems to be like a really risky position, not just for fantasy, but for teams in general, because a lot of times you just have one, you know. It's like if your quarterback gets COVID and gets put on the list, maybe you got a couple other guys that can fill in and stuff like that, but it seems like a riskier proposition with kickers, at least from a team's perspective, where you could lose a kicker and just not have a kicker for your entire team. And really, and you know, we see some weirdness when that happens, like if a kicker gets injured or something like that. Probably not as much of a fantasy impact, but more of like a real world impact, I would guess.
Well, from a kickers and defense standpoint, I don't think I play in a league that has kickers or defense anymore. And I'm probably going to be in about 30 when it's all said and done this year. But if I am in a league with kickers and defense, what I do is I consider that I don't have a kicker and a defense on my roster at any given time. I will drop my kicker and my defense every week on the waiver wire and pick up a running back or a wide receiver and, you know, spend Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday maybe trying to trade and improve my roster, maybe to open up a roster spot. And then when I get to Thursday night, I'll pick up a Thursday night kicker who's not sick, and I'll pick up a Thursday night defense who's not sick. Yep. Mm-hmm. And go that direction.
All right, Matt. Well, one of the things that we wanted to provide for our listeners is you have a brand new venture, and you know, you've already given us lots of different and interesting angles for 2020, and your new venture is called shockfantasy.com. Tell us a little bit about what you're offering at shockfantasy.com.
Well, it's me. it's very new. So I left the Fanball Sports Hub family back in February, and I did this thing on Fanball's content site called the Empire League Trade Value Chart. Works for Empire Leagues and Dynasty Leagues, and it gives a trade value to every player, so you can kind of take the different trades in a Dynasty League and look and see if they make sense. It was very dynasty focused. And so once I left, I just started putting those out and selling those sheets individually on Etsy, actually. And people seemed to like them. I was selling them for like $3 a pop, nothing big. I'd update it once a month, and then people would be like, hey, you know, I bought the one last month and now I got to buy another one this month. Can't I just get a season pass to all of this? And I was like, you know what? Yeah, I could build that. So I built a little website, and as of right now, we have four different kinds of cheat sheets, basically for every league. I have a, you know, traditional, same old kind of cheat sheet that you get from Paul Charchian, maybe with a couple extra little added bonuses. My traditional cheat sheet has the ADP $200 and $100 auction cap prices on there, you know, their bye week, that kind of stuff. And so you can look at that and use that for your regular league. I also, in keeper leagues, I get asked this all year long, is all August, I should say, should I keep Chris Godwin for $24 or should I keep Michael Gallup for $4? Well, mm-hmm. I put a formula together and a little cheat sheet on that that allows you to look at what's a player's value. And either in an auction or a draft, how good of a value is that player at this moment? So, and it can kind of give you a little gauge of like, is this a great value or is this a crap value? Am I going to be able to draft this guy back again? So I got the keeper value chart. I still have the dynasty trade value chart. And then I have what's called the ultimate best ball cheat sheet that pulls in a lot of interesting data from several reputable best ball sites in the industry, and gives you a little bird's eye view of where these players are being drafted, so you can be a little bit smarter in your best ball drafts. And I use it for my own best ball drafts, and it's worked quite swimmingly so far. So those are all available at Shock Fantasy, and you get 365 days of all of our content. A friend of mine and I are working on our second sport, which will be PGA golf.
Let's go.
And it will be, we're probably looking right before the Masters for that.
Perfect.
So so that's later this fall. So very excited about that. But we got a promo code for you guys.
Nice.
To give your listeners as well. And that's BETS, B-E-T-S. And if you put in the promo code BETS, you get the full shocker, 365 days.
Wow!
Shock Fantasy for $25.
Nice.
And to be forthcoming, I'm going to kick back a couple bucks to the Bets and Quotes podcast, so they can, you know, put a few bets down on their own behalf, right?
Hell yeah.
For sure. Absolutely.
I'm actually signing up as we speak right now.
So, I mean, if you guys are, if your listeners support, you know, your podcast and they support my site, everybody's happy. And, you know, we're all independent fellows working hard to bring forth some good entertainment and some fun and some levity to a weird, weird world. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, that, you know, that sounds like a tremendous amount of content and value, especially, I mean, if you're an idiot like me, where you're in, you know, dynasty leagues and empire leagues and guillotine leagues and standard leagues and everything like that, you know, you've got all sorts of angles and you've got everything covered. And just to clarify, if you sign up for the subscription at shockfantasy.com, you get all of the golf content when that comes out as well. That's not a separate subscription, right?
Yep, it's all part of the whole package. So we're going to do it all together. You get it for a full year. We're probably looking at baseball coming next season. Wow. And yeah, it's just, you know, I'm not going to make a bazillion dollars on this. I might buy a nice bottle of whiskey today with a couple of bucks that I've made in the last couple of weeks. But that's it. This is a labor of love. And I really enjoy helping people out. I enjoy building the community. We also have a Slack page for Shock Fantasy. So if anybody has questions about their league, you can get direct to me and you can get direct to other members of our community. We have leagues that we kind of build just for our members. And, you know, it's a nice little feel so far. And we got about 100 strong people in the community so far. And it's been pretty great.
That's awesome. And I can also guarantee you this. He might not sign up for a subscription, but I guarantee accidentally or on purpose, Chris Hockey will stumble across shockfantasy.com. He might be there for different reasons, but that's definitely...
Well, I mean, I kind of hope Chris doesn't put in the promo code then and yeah. Just pays full price, because I mean, Seahawk loves to pay full price for things, right?
Are you by any chance selling plots of land at shockfantasy.com? Because Chris would be definitely in line for that.
You know, I could sell like square feet of my yard. I could probably put that on the page.
Well, Chris will be all about that. Well, hey, thanks so much, Matt. We really appreciate it. And once again, that's shockfantasy.com. Promo code BETS. When you sign up there, you get a full year. And it's at the reduced rate of $25, which is nothing when it's winning you hundreds and hundreds of dollars in your fantasy leagues. All right. Well, that was awesome talking to Matt. Hopefully you got some good strategies and hopefully you will get signed up, because that is a good deal. You know, if you're hardcore and, you know, playing lots of money leagues and stuff like that, $25 for all that content and having that, and especially like the trade value stuff, because I've seen those sheets before. And it's brilliant. I mean, you can really get some advantages in trades, or make sure you're not getting ripped off in trades and things like that. So yeah, definitely go there. Shockfantasy.com, promo code BETS.
Yeah. All right. And funny thing too there, I actually signed up for it during the interview. Maybe that's my ADHD there, but a lot of the research that and stuff that he was putting together in, you know, this Shock Fantasy, I spent tons of hours during the summer trying to put it together. So, you know, for $25 to have him do it for me, you know, that's awesome. And golf coming too. That's sick.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like if you're, you know, especially if you're into golf or if you're into other fantasy sports, it sounds like he's going to add and stuff. That's, you know, a 1 year subscription, $25. That is just, that's such a good deal. So yeah, I'm definitely going to get signed up as well, probably right after this episode, because I don't have quite the ADHD that you do. And speaking of your levels of ADHD, let's skate on over to the Quotes Notes Open.
Oh, sorry in advance.
Quotes. Quotes Notes. Quotes Notes. Quotes. Quotes Notes. Quotes Notes. Quotes, notes.
You know, that actually wasn't that awful. If, let me qualify this, if you'd actually hit the musical notes in the very first part, it was like you were a half a second off hitting the musical notes for the first 20 seconds.
So, conspiracy theory here, when I set it up and I record it and I sync it up with the music, it is spot on. So I don't know if I'm sending the wrong file or if it's, or if you're, you know, ruining my bit here, but it is synced up. Like I, that's all I'm saying. It always comes out shittier.
We will,
God
we will,
damn it.
We will leave this it up to the listeners as to whether or not that was synced.
Let's just say I'm saving up for episode 100 next week. So stay tuned.
All right. What do you got?
Okay, we got a lot. Sauce said that the Yin Yang Twins bang. That's right, because they do bang. Love me some Yin Yang Twins. Maybe even throw in some East Side Boys there too. Awesome stuff.
I love the name Yin Yang Twins.
Yeah, I mean they hang out with Lil Jon too. I mean they're the boys. Okay, let's see here. Oh boy. Okay. So this one's tough. I sent out a tweet saying that Sugar Sean O'Malley is free money in UFC 252. And that has led to my official retirement from gambling on the UFC.
I claim that it was...
Oh, I mean, yeah, there's an event Saturday night, but I might wait a little bit. Yeah. You know, I'd watched so many YouTube videos. I've gotten so into the, you know, MMA and the UFC and really fell in love with them. 12-0, undefeated, just knocking people out, having fun, being electric, you know, thinking this guy's the next, you know, Conor McGregor. And 30 seconds in, he, like, stumbles over and just, like, breaks his, like, ankle or foot. Like, breaks his, like, Liz Frank. Yeah, it was terrible. And I thought about it for a long time. Do I delete the tweet? Do I not? And I actually waited until like 2:30 and I was stewing. And I deleted that bitch because, yeah, I'm just not at that level yet where I can live with that stain on my record.
See, that's not good Twitter etiquette, though. You gotta leave it up there and roll with the punches. Now, I always hate the people that are like, well, that aged well. I mean, that's like I've said before.
Well,
biggest pet peeves on Twitter. It's like, it's one thing, you know, respond to it and go, yeah, your guy lost or whatever, but it's just that whole that aged well thing. It's like, because I've thought about starting a Twitter account. Here's a closed caption to Steve, because this will be Steve's new Twitter account. But I was gonna start a Twitter account silently that I guessed the initials for the initials jackpot and guess every single combination and then go back and delete every one but the one that actually hit and do that for like 4 weeks in a row so that this account only has four tweets that are visible and all four are the correct initials every single week and call it like initials jackpot god or something like that. And you would get a ton of hype for like a week until you got the initials wrong finally. But I was thinking of doing that, but I'm like, God, that's a waste of time. I'm like, but, you know, it would be a funny bit because I always thought too of doing something like a Twitter account called like Man from the Future or something like that. And yeah, just throw out all these crazy predictions and then like predict every team to win the Super Bowl months in advance and every team to win the World Series. And then, yeah, just go back and delete every single tweet that doesn't happen. And then you've got this unbelievable record of like, yep, see, I told you all this stuff was going to happen.
So if you've got way too much time
on your hands, there you go.
But the cutoff there was I was getting like, you know, harsh replies from people that didn't even follow me or like anything related to, you know, they were just grabbing off of the, you know, UFC 252 hashtag. So I was just getting, you know, all this shit thrown at me by people who don't even follow me or the Power Trip. So I'm like, all right, this is getting out of hand. So, yeah, had to delete it. I'm a delete tweet guy, trying to change my ways. Next up. I also thought the shot through the heart. I also, as long with Meat Sauce, said, and you're too late.
Oh my God.
I also thought that, but I mean, I'm an idiot. I'm the Meat Sauce character of this, but I'm actually, you know.
I will give you a little benefit of the doubt on that one, just because it definitely kind of sounds like that if you get that in your head. But the point is, it rhymes. That's the whole thing. And late does not rhyme with name. And that's the part that should be the dead giveaway with that one. But yeah, I will admit that it does kind of sound like that if you get that in your head.
This, you know, Quotes Notes is starting to turn into like a therapy session for me here.
And I'm not the best therapist for you either.
You're not. Oh, yeah, I'm sweating. Okay.
You're going to need therapy from talking to me during Quotes Notes.
I know. The aunt or aunt debate. I've always been aunt guy. Never been aunt.
Thank you.
Aunts are what are tattooed on Meat Sauce's beautiful calves.
Thank you.
Aunts are sisters of your mom.
I thought for sure when the way this Quotes Notes has gone, I thought for sure when you brought this up, you were going to be like, it's aunt. These aunt people are so pretentious or whatever. I was just going to rip you to shreds again. No, thank you. We are on the same page on this one.
Yes.
My question, if it's aunt, what the fuck is the U there for? Okay. There you go.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's not thrown in there. It's not a silent U. It's never been a silent U in anything.
If it was a silent U, hockey would really love Kuntz.
Genius. Oh, that's funny. Okay, next up. Ben Lieber versus the coronavirus has been one of the more entertaining matchups that I've seen in human history. You know, it's just fun. You know, and he's been very consistent from the start. You know, he's been throwing jabs at the virus. He was trying to bury this virus in March. And I think even there may or may not be a quote out there that says, give me the coronavirus from Ben Lieber. But, you know, well, I put that in a time capsule for another time. But Ben versus the coronavirus, a very solid matchup. Both are very strong. Ben is obviously way better looking. I guess if I were a gambling man, I would still make COVID the favorite at -210. I don't know. What do you think there, Chuck?
Yeah, I don't get into the whole coronavirus debate. It sucks. We all want to get past it and everything like that. And I get, you know, people have different, you know, everybody's got their own agendas and stuff. And I get it, you know, from Ben's perspective, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I think it's a big nuisance. And, you know, it sucks for him because, you know, he's a college football guy and that's one of, you know, his passions and stuff like that. And I think he's got that in the back of the mind and, you know, just the whole sports side of stuff. And it's like, you know, and, you know, you look at the numbers and stuff like that, and younger kids, you know, they don't get it. And it's certainly not as fatal as it is for older people and stuff like that. But then, you know, you've got the whole bigger society to think of and stuff like that. I mean, it's super complex and I can't pretend to be an expert on it. I'm just a good guy wearing my mask and trying to get through this crap.
Yes. Did you see my tweet from the other day? My fiance sent me that. It's like a guy who has a mask like below his nose and then a guy with like a penis over his over his underwear like hanging out. Like
I was mostly surprised by the responses. Dying. I thought people were going to respond about the length of the second image, but
of the pinois.
I didn't see too many responses talking about the length.
Yeah, this is not mine. Asterisk here. This is not my penis.
At Tommy053, lucky.
So cupping therapy, I've had it a number of times. I've got some degenerative discs in my back, and I have some bad shoulders, and I sleep on my side. I've gotten it done a ton of times, and it is awesome. Obviously, it leaves like really weird marks on your back, but it pulls out all of like the bad like blood and all the like just crap that you have in your muscles and your joints. And honestly, it feels amazing. So if you haven't tried it, I would at least give it a try. Unless you're like a bikini model or something like that.
That's good to hear because like when Hawk brings stuff like that up, I'm like, did he get scammed? Like, is this like a real thing that actually works?
Yeah.
Or is this part of like a big scam?
No, it's awesome. The first time I got a massage, she offered it like as like a complimentary thing. And I'm like, oh, sure, whatever. You know, my shoulders are kind of like bad or whatever. And she threw it on and I looked at myself in the mirror and it looks like I got shot by like a tennis/paintball gun. And like I had these weird marks for like 2 weeks. But like I forget how she explained it, but it's something about like the toxicity in your like blood, in your muscles, in your joints and stuff, and just like releases those toxins, and it really helped me. So if I would at least try it, it's worth it.
And word to the wise, anytime a masseuse offers you something for free, you say yes.
Always go yes. Next up, saw on Twitter that Drunk John Creasel is doing the mayonnaise receipt challenge, consuming all the items on the receipt. Absolutely brilliant idea. I can't wait to see him eat batteries though, or drink batteries.
Oh yeah.
Obviously we found out that that was a shot, but, you know, maybe Drunk John Creasel is a caveman and he tries to, you know, eat some double A's. That'd be pretty funny.
No, that was the one that was the hardest to figure out, because we were trying to figure that one out. I even asked Tyler about it, and Tyler didn't know what it was either. But Sauce finally said on the air what was in there, so that mystery got solved. Yeah, it's
like some tequila shot, something like that.
Yeah, so, yes, God love Drunk John Creasel. He's working his way through the receipt, and love to see it.
Next up, Hawk brought up the now former restaurant chain, The Ground Round. That place fucking kicked so much ass. I love The Ground Round. So we used to have one in St. Cloud, and we go there, like, it was right over kind of by like the hockey rink. So we go over there after like games and practices and stuff. Their appetizer, like sampler platter. Now I know that like every Applebee's, like every like bar and grill has like an appetizer sampler, but my God, their sampler was so good. That's all we ordered. It was, you know, mozzie steaks, onion rings, you know, buffalo wings, whatever. Everything was so good there. The atmosphere, Ground Round, loved Ground Round.
Oh, yeah. And their burgers were awesome. And it was just fun to say, The Ground Round. It's so much fun to say.
Yes.
It's right up there with Fuddruckers, which one of my favorite things about Fuddruckers is that my mom, the very first time she told somebody that we went to Fuddruckers, she messed it up and she told them that we went to Rudfuckers. And my mom's not the type to to drop the F-bomb like at all, and was massively embarrassed. So every person I saw for like the next 3 months, I was like, "Hey mom, tell them about that restaurant we went to." So yeah,
go down to Motherfuckers and get yourself a burger bar. Okay, last one. This has been extensive. But so glad that they started to bring back the "what else is it exactly like" bit again, because it almost died there for about like 2 years to 18 months. And that bit is way too good to just, you know, sadly pass away. So I'm glad that it's getting recycled in, and Dave Allen made a new open for it, and keep the "what else is it exactly like" bit alive.
Yeah, I love that. I love when Sauce is really into it too, because there's times where it's like, you know, Corey will be like, "What else is it exactly?" And you can just hear it in Sauce's voice where he's like, "Oh my God, I don't want to have to think of like two more things that this is exactly like." But yeah, when he's into it, he can really nail some hilarious ones. And I love that the last one is almost always the fast food reference.
Yes. And that is Quotes Notes.
Well, we got off to a bumpy start with Quotes Notes, but man, we were definitely in lockstep there towards the middle and end. So well done.
That was a top five Quotes Notes of all time. Maybe not the open, but the content.
Open was definitely not in the top five. All right. Well, Dave, where can they find you at?
You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at PowerTripBet. Son of a bitch. The third Bell's Too Hard is really kicking in here. On Twitter or Instagram at PowerTrip Quotes.
And I'm at PowerTrip Bets, and we will see you guys next week when it's episode 100.